at some point in the service, but I think what we'll do is we'll just do this at the end of the service. I want to turn your attention to the book of Mark. Hallelujah to God. Thank God for the privilege standing before you to minister the gospel.
Amen.
And to know that there's not a multiplicity of gospel, there's only one gospel.
One. Amen.
And the day that I don't stay in the book, you can shut me down anytime. I can't say a word because the only license that I have is not from a plastic license. The only license that I have is in this book.
Amen.
And by staying in this book, and that's all that I want to do.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
St. Mark chapter 9. St. Mark chapter 9. Begin reading with verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with teeth, and pineth away. And I spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither unto me. And they brought him unto him, and he saw him straightway. The spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Look, if it could have destroyed him, it would have destroyed him. But it was not able to. Why? Grace. The power of God is always stronger than the enemy.
Amen.
But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen.
Right.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Somebody said with tears.
With tears.
Lord, I believe.
Yes.
Help now my unbelief.
Amen.
Come on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Lord, we come to you right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I believe that you gave me this for this congregation and to my own soul to preach to this congregation and to myself a challenge today. Oh God, I pray right now that you would bless and anoint the rest of this service, that the power of God go out powerfully, that it be anointed, oh God, let those that are receive it be anointed. And I pray it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach about conflicted faith. Conflicted faith. In this story, we find this man who is trouble because he has a child that's been... Can you imagine seeing your child as that child is throwing itself into such a fit that it would be driven to the point of drowning and to the point of being in the fire? No telling how many scars it would probably upon the child from the burns, and there was no telling how many near misses there were as that child would try to drown itself. And here's a father that's desperate. I hope that I can find somebody today who's desperate for God, who didn't just come to pass a little time and say, I'm in the house of God. But I hope that I'm believing today that I'm preaching to somebody who's just desperate for God, desperate for what only God can do. It's time to recognize some things that only God can do. It cannot be done by screwing it over. It cannot be done in some office or some clinic of some psychologist. The only thing it will do is what God can do with His favor, with what God can do with just one touch. Hallelujah. That's what's needed. I hope that I'm preaching to somebody today that's desperate enough to heed the voice of God. You're going to cast aside the doubt and the lies of the enemy.
Amen.
And so he came to him, and this man, I'm here to tell you, he stumbled upon something of a recognition in himself that we many times don't know. We don't understand it. We don't perceive it in ourselves. But he said these words, I believe.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to say, I recognize something while I believe. I understand that I'm conflicted in my faith. There's a part of me. There's something inside of me that's not wanting to believe it. I want to believe it with all of my heart. But I have a conflicted faith. I have a conflicted faith. Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you that you would help me. Even though I have faith, help me with my unbelief. How do we get to a place that we believe this book? We know this book. I'm preaching to somebody who's hearing me today. You experience this for yourself. You want to believe God. You believe the preaching is sent by God for you. You believe this book. But there's something in the resources of your mind that says, what if? What if he does it? Maybe it's not his will to do it.
Come on.
We struggle sometimes because we're not sure of the will of God.
Amen.
And we struggle within ourselves. And this was a man that recognized that he struggled. He wanted to believe, but there was something in the back of his mind that was telling him, oh, this is not for him. It's for everybody else. It's so hard sometimes because we come to the house of God and we see people get their miracles. How many people have ever known somebody to get a miracle?
Amen.
Oh, they get a miracle. And sometimes we come to God with a petition and it doesn't happen. And I'm here to tell you, what you need to be aware of is not the fact that you don't believe in God. It's not the fact that you don't love God. But there is that thing in the back of your mind, that unbelief. And you need to cry out to God, just like this person has cried out to God and say, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief.
Right.
Help me with the doubts. Help me with the worry. Help me, come on, it's never the will of God we worry. I said, it's never the will of God for us to worry. But sometimes there's a worry, and that worry gets in the head of our faith. It's the bone that separates us from the miracle. We need God to remove the bone so that we can get to our destination.
Amen.
And sometimes it's just too big.
Yes.
He recognized, I can't get around this boulder, and I'm not big enough to move it. So I'm asking you, Lord, help me. When's the last time when you prayed, when you were honest with God, and you said, Lord, I want to believe, but I need you to help me with my unbelief. I need you to help me to get that boulder of unbelief out of the way.
Amen.
We need. Because we believe God, don't we?
Amen.
We believe the book, don't we?
Yes.
But we got to get rid of the unbelief.
Come on.
Now, I want to ask you a question. What does this look like? Interesting, I found the parallel to see what this actually looks like. So you can't deny it. You can't. It's just going to be plain as day, and it's going to paint the picture of us. I don't know if you've ever wanted to have a painted a portrait of you. But we need it sometimes. Sometimes when God paints the portrait for us in the Word of God, He shows us not about where we are. He pinpoints exactly where we are.
Come on.
Excuse me. Now, turn to the book of Acts. I'm going to pinpoint it right now. Acts chapter 12. You know, I suspect I will not be long, so you can be joyful. I've got a point to get across, and either you get it or you don't, but I believe in God that somebody's going to get this today.
Right.
Acts chapter 12, verse 7 says this. And behold, the angel of the Lord Lord came upon him, talking about Peter. And a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and he followed him. Watch this. And he wist not that it was true which was done to him by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now, this thing is so unbelievable. The rest of this story is unbelievable. I'm here to tell you one of the reasons why I love the Word of God is it's hilarious sometimes.
Amen. Amen.
It is hilarious sometimes in how it really paints the picture of humanity and us today.
Amen. Right.
And here was Peter. He's praying for the will of God to get him out of the place. And here comes an angel. It gets him out of the place. And he don't believe in his own self. He's mixed up with doubt because he's going, "This has got to be a vision. How did I get out of here?"
Yeah.
How in the world, thank God, I don't wear PJs because I'll be out here in the midst of this in my PJs. Here I am in the midst of all this, but here I'm trying to get delivered and I'm praying and expecting God, and lo and behold, an angel comes and shows up and gets me out of the prison.
Yeah.
And here I stand. In a place of deliverance.
Yeah.
Watch this. We're not through. And when they were past the first and the second ward. Oh yeah, there's levels.
Yeah.
There's levels.
Amen.
There's levels of deliverance sometimes.
Amen.
And some people never get their miracle because they never get past the first ward.
Amen. All right.
Come on. They never get past the first ward.
Amen.
God starts doing a work in their life, and that old self-doubt comes back up and said, "This couldn't be happening to me." But he was wise enough that he went through the first ward, and he went to the second ward, and then they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Would you like to have been there? Oh, I'm telling you, I would have loved to have been there. And at least for that moment. I might not want to have been Peter all of his life, but I think I'd like to have been Peter right then. At that moment, when you're questioning, you're wondering, come on, has anybody ever questioned you? You're wondering, and you're just not sure. But when you stood before that gate, and that gate opened up, there was no more question. There was no more doubt. There was no more wonder. When the gate opened up, it's no longer a vision. It's no longer a thing with my thoughts. No longer my wishing, my hope. The gate has opened up. This church needs to get to the place that we recognize when God opens the door, no man can close it.
Amen.
When that gate opened up, and he walked out of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know." Now. You know, it's amazing. It took that point before he got to the point where he says, "Now I know with surety that the Lord has sent his angel."
Amen.
Well, man, you've been looking at him and talking to him and following the whole way. But he said, "Now I know." That the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of his hand of Herod and from all the expectation and from the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname Mark, where many were gathered together praying, no doubt praying for him.
Yeah.
And as Peter knocked at the door, it gets funnier by the minute. It gets funnier by the minute. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda, and when she knew Peter's voice, I said, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened up the gate for gladness, but ran in. Man, here you are, Peter, you're full of faith and glory and power because the Lord delivered you. And nobody will even open the gate to let you inside. Don't feel discouraged, preacher, when you preach the Word of God. And because somebody won't open the door, then you've got to let God do His work. You've got to let God do His thing. You've got to let God make His promise to His purpose. Hallelujah.
Come on,
I hope this goes out to some preacher today who might be in the state of a little discouragement. I'm here to tell you sometimes that people will leave you in the door. They will leave you in the gate. They will not let you in. But God in faith, it doesn't change the fact that God delivers you. He delivers you. He draws you out. And the fact they won't let you in, it doesn't change anything. You're still there to deliver the delivering message which is the Lord has delivered to you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. But it keeps getting funnier. It keeps getting more hilarious. And then said unto her, these people who are praying, Lord, please deliver Peter out of that prison. And they were probably praying for a multitude of things. A multitude of things, but I'm sure Peter was probably one of them. And they're praying for this. You see, this is the perfect illustration of what I just read to you when this man was smart enough to say, Lord, I believe. Hey, if they was not praying, they were not believing. They believed. They believed. They believed. They believed. They believed. But the unbelief was still present with them. Right? So the Bible says this, thou art mad. You are out of your mind. What do you mean that God, this God that filled us with the Holy Ghost, these were not sinners, these were apostolic people that were born again of the supernatural. They had experienced the supernatural. They were acquainted with the supernatural. They saw many miracles that you and I have never seen nor experienced. They were familiar with it, but yet they said, you are mad. You have lost your mind.
Come on, brother.
What do you mean Peter's out of the prison? But she constantly affirmed it. It was even so. She just kept on, no, it's him, it's him, it's him, it's him, it's him. I can't stand that preacher. He preaches all the time the same thing, but he keeps grabbing me by the coat tail. I mean the coat collar and say, it's him, it's him, it's him, it's him, it's him, it's him, it's him. I get tired of the same old message by the preacher, but the preacher keeps telling you, it's him, it's him, it's him. Yeah. When somebody go to the gate, it's him. Yeah. When somebody go to the gate, because it's him. Yeah. Hallelujah. They said, hey, then said they still weren't convinced.
Yeah.
This is angel.
Yeah.
This is, how do you know this is angel? I'm telling you, dealing with people can be a problem, Pastor. If you don't know the answers, let me tell you something what people do. They already got it figured out for you.
Yeah.
They don't need to listen to you. You need to listen to them.
Yeah.
Because they've already got it figured out.
Yeah.
It's an angel. It's not what you think it is. I know you believe that God's talking to us to move into a different realm.
Yeah.
But you need to listen to the people.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Oh, my God. If there ever was a time that you and I need to show ourselves strong in leadership is not always the first one, but leadership ties itself to the ministry and leads. It says, this man has heard from God. We're going to get in line and follow. I'm not one to get tied up on titles. Now, I've served in capacity nearly identical to what I'm doing in this church as the assistant pastor. But I'm going to tell you something.
Come on.
The title really doesn't mean anything. I'm here to serve you as a man of God.
Amen.
Right.
And I'm not hung up on titles.
Come on, brother.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
But one thing I'm convinced of, it's not to try to lead you any other way. It's to get behind the man of God and touch him like this. Push him as he follows God. And you get behind me and you push me. How am I going to push it? Because you're going to push me ahead in prayer. You're going to push me ahead in supplication. You're going to push me ahead in benediction. Yeah. Because I found out a long time ago, Sister Donna. The people's consecration will never rise above the level of leadership and leadership of the church.
Amen.
It will never do it.
Amen.
You need for him to be the best he can be.
Amen.
You need for me to be the best I can be.
Amen.
Not because we're here today, but because we're trying to find him. I don't want you to push me. I want you to push me.
Yeah.
I want you to help me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go somewhere and follow this man and follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's not even about him. He's just the under shepherd. Praise God. Romans 12:3 says this. Hallelujah to God. Romans 12:3. I wish I had all this marked, but I don't. 12:3. For I say, through grace given unto me, that every man that is among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath given, watch this now, hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen.
You see, you're given a measure of faith today, so you're without excuse. Do you hear me? I said, because you've been given a measure of faith today, there's nothing that stops you from believing God. There's nothing that stops you to be able to say, I can't believe God. I can't do this. I can't do this. None of that is ever going to wash. Because we've all been given a measure of faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. We have seen the miracles. We have heard the precious word of God preached. The problem is not with the promiser. And the problem is not with the promise.
Right.
The problem is that we are conflicting in our faith.
Amen.
Come on. Is somebody going to be honest with me today? The problem is not the promise. And the problem is not the promiser. The problem is the confliction in our faith. And I'm here to tell you that that confliction will show up in a very specific way.
Amen. Amen.
Because if you're conflicted in your faith, you're going to find it a struggle to have a prayer life.
Come
if
on.
You're conflicted in your faith, you're not going to have any excitement about prayer. You're going to say, I know God can do it, and that's going to be as far as you get. If there's any confliction in your faith, the way you remove the self-doubt, you're going to find yourself getting on your knees and the devil's going to tell you, you prayed this prayer before. He's going to say to you, why are you even trying? He's going to say to you, and your flesh is going to scream at you, this is no fun. This is a task. This is not pleasure. Why don't you get up off your knees? You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to take care of this. And you've got to take care of that. If you're conflicted in your prayer life, or rather you're conflicted in your faith, it will show up in a myriad of ways. You'll find it hard to give, too. You know the book says, give and it shall be given. And we believe it. But how many Holy Ghost believers, Brother Watson, have you pastored that never got that? Really, really never got that. And it showed up in their giving. And you're saying to yourself, not because you want a money grubber, not because you're desiring to get money all the time, but you recognize that if they don't learn to give to God, if they're conflicting in their faith to the point that they're not giving to God in the way they should give to God and could give to God, they're cheating themselves. It's not that you're being a money grubber and saying, hey, bring your money here, I need your money. It's not about that. It takes money to run the church, yes, but I'm talking about something in regards to what God does for us.
Amen.
And if you're conflicting in your faith, if you're saying, yeah, I know I believe God, it's evident I believe God, I'm here. But I'm struggling to give to Him. That's just another many ways that can show up. The problem is two opinions. Now, get close to the end. Turn with me to James. Book of James. Chapter 1. Man, oh man. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost today.
Come on.
I'm feeling that the Word of God is speaking to us today if we'll heed the Word of God.
Amen.
James, the book of James, says this in verse 1. Chapter 1 of 1 says this: James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Come on now, somebody say that with me, entire. Entire. That means there's a completion about you.
Right.
Wanting everything.
Nothing.
Wanting a new car.
Nothing.
Wanting somebody that you know to be that's a friend of yours that's got some issue and you've been praying for them, can't get an answer.
Nothing.
No, the Bible says wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally.
Yes.
Liberally. Now that's what the man was wise enough to recognize. Lord, I believe. But I need you to help my unbelief.
Amen.
But the Bible said that he would help you with that.
Right.
He would help you with your struggles. He will help you in your shortcomings. He will help you when you need help. He will strengthen you where you need strengthening. That giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And it shall be given unto him. Here we go. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, this is so key. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord, of the Lord. Watch this. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The problem is simple. The problem is two opinions. We come to God and we believe in God, and the opinion is, my Lord, you can do anything. I've heard the preacher say it so many times. But God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask for things. We know, I believe it, I hear it all the time. I believe it. The problem is, we don't just hold that one opinion.
Right.
The problem is, there's a second opinion. And the Bible just got to tell us, don't think that you're going to receive anything from the Lord if you have not done something about that other aspect that's conflicting your faith. You've got to get rid of the unbelief before you can walk into the miracle that you're looking for.
Amen.
Now I'm going to say this. May it seem a little funny, but I'm glad for Peter's sake that he wasn't having to depend on the faith of the people. What are you saying? I'm saying it was the will of God. Peter was coming out of that prison while they were praying to God. Because
yeah.
He had work to do. It was the will of God.
Yeah.
But my Lord, what if it hadn't been His will? He had to depend on their faith.
Yeah.
Because they're conflicting. It was obvious they were conflicting because of the response that they gave.
Yeah.
You see, this kind of preaching is always tough on us. I don't like it either. Because it puts it right back on me.
Come on.
Amen. But it's still necessary, Brother Brown. Yeah. Whether I feel good in my flesh or I don't like it at all, because sometimes I've been guilty of holding two opinions. Yeah, I believe God can do it, but I'm wondering, will He do it?
Come on.
Yeah.
True, so many times.
Do you feel what I feel in the house? Holy Ghost is confirming some things. I'm convinced of it. We've got to get a hold of what the truth of what I'm preaching and say, Lord, I've got some issues and some problems. Would you please help me with my unbelief? I'm believing that I want to believe more. I want to have more faith tomorrow that I recognize something. I recognize an issue. I recognize a circumstance.
Amen.
Help me.
Help me.
Now, closing up with this scripture. If I flunk out on this one, I give up. Hebrews 11:6.
Yeah, it was the impossible.
Hebrews 11:6.
To please God without faith.
Praise God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
Yeah.
For he cometh to God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is.
Yes.
And that He is a rewarder of them that
diligently
seek Him. Now,
yes.
I was about to talk to this. You just tuned in for this second. Make sure you tuned in on this one. All right? Bible said, here's the issue, Brother Watson. We really don't have a problem with the first part of that scripture. Let me read it again. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. I'm looking at people today. There's no question and no doubt in my mind. You know who Jesus is. And you know what He has done in your life. And you have seen the miracles. You have heard of the miracles. You've seen it all. There's no question about whether or not you believe that He is. It's the second part of that where we get.
Listen, God.
And that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
That's what it said.
That's when we get trouble. Because it's not a problem of believing God. Lord, I believe. It's that second part.
Amen.
Help down my unbelief.
Amen.
The reason that, come on, will you get honest with me today? Come on, with somebody. The reason that our prayer life sometimes, many times struggles, is that second part.
Amen.
And it shows up.
Amen.
Why? Because we don't diligently, we seek Him. Come on now. We come to the house of God, we come to get prayer. We seek Him. But the Bible says they must diligently seek Him. They must diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Last thing, watch this. This is awesome. You got to believe, not only to seek Him, that He is a rewarder. 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 He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what is that saying? To your faith. What's it saying to your faith? I got something I'm praying for. But if even, and what comes to our mind a lot of times is this. I know you can.
Yeah.
What if it's not your will?
Come on.
But here's the thing that stretches beyond that, if you'll catch this. He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. And because He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him, my attitude is, Lord, I would bring this petition before You because I would like to you for You to award me a miracle. I'd like You to award me and give me what's something that I need. But there's a difference between a gift and a reward.
Amen.
Are you getting this? I said there's a difference between a gift and a work. Lord, I need you to do this for me. I need you to give me this gift. But here's the promise. The thing about it is the gift may not be coming according to His will, but the reward sure is.
Amen.
The reward is given. The reward is a promise. That means if it doesn't come out the way I want it to, if He doesn't heal me, if He doesn't touch me, if He doesn't do what I want Him to do, the reward is still great. The reward is still awesome. The reward is greater than what I'm probably even asking for. Right? Do you think? Woo, hallelujah. He must believe that He is a rewarder. He must believe that He is a rewarder. You see, if you catch what I'm preaching today, you win no matter how it goes. I don't care if you're on your deathbed and you're praying for a healing and a miracle. If you're diligently seeking Him, you are going to be rewarded one way or another. You literally can't lose either way. I've got a good friend I'd like for you to pray for. In fact, he's my former pastor. He has prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. I can tell you in talking to him, he wants out. He wants the miracle. But I can perceive in him, there's an abiding faith there that says, He is a rewarder. And I've been seeking His face. And He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. So whether I live, it's a gain. If I die, it's a gain. But I'm going to just keep praising His name. I'm going to keep seeking after Him diligently. Every eye bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe that I'm preaching to somebody today that you've been in a struggle for a long time. The preaching today has helped you to have an awareness of where the struggle is coming from. And when you look within yourself, you see faith. You see a belief in God. You see, I have a belief. I believe God. But you also recognize that there's a struggle, an internal struggle that goes on within you. It's this big boulder that I described that separated you from getting to where the miracle is that God wants you to get to. Or just getting to a place where you get a reward that is greater than what you seek. There's a reward that's greater than what you seek. And I'm asking right now, if that is you, if this message is preached right where you live, you're not ashamed because you're a human being. You're not intimidated to step out and come to this altar and just stand and say, thank you, Brother Marsh, for preaching to me because I've been struggling. I've been in the struggle. I've been trying to believe God for the situation and it seems like I can't really get to where I want to go. And I'm just knowing that you've told me something that's so true. And I'm going to have to learn to defeat the unbelief. And I'm going to do it in prayer. I'm going to do it in steadfast. I'm going to do it with a determined heart. In Jesus' name, if that's you, this is your chance. Praise God. The Lord looks down upon your heart today. And He knows where you're at. If you choose not, that's up to you. But you're not fooling me and you're not fooling God. You're just missing an opportunity that the Lord came by to minister to you. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He has His mind. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by His folder where He's to.
Christy was 18 months old, had a leather finger operation on her little body. Doctor said that she would never be up to me at 24 months old if she made it. Was born with so many things bad. And the doctor said that she would never walk. And the Lord dealt with me to put a basket out. And when I put that basket out, the Lord told me, he said, tell them whatever they want me to do tonight, put it in that basket. That's where I was at. I said, but God, what if it don't happen? I'll never forget what he said. He said, the problem's not with me. He said, the problem's with you. And do you believe I'll do it? I said, yes, sir. He said, then put the basket out. Sister Joanne wrote on a piece of paper, put it in that basket. He said, Lord, let my baby walk. This was on Wednesday night. Supposed to be Bible study Wednesday night. She put it in that basket. Guess what happened Thursday morning? Little Christy come walking from the living room into the kitchen where her mother was. She took her back to Shands Hospital and walked in with her by the hand. And the doctor says, all they can say is that's a miracle. That has to be a miracle from God. Can I tell you? The same one stepped out on nothing.
Yes.
And spoke this world into existence.
Yes.
It's still that same God.
Amen.
It's still that same God. And it's still, amen, has all power. Amen. All power is given unto him. Jesus said, all power is given unto him. Amen. Heaven and earth. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. That we won't have no more pains in our bodies. Amen. That we'll see Jesus face to face. Amen. I know, Brother Noel, if you want to see God, you know, just, you know, nobody's ever seen him look upon God and live. But Jesus, God had to robe himself in flesh and come down here. Amen. And when you see Jesus, you see that God we're talking about. I thought about the message today. We're so powerful. Anybody needs anything from God, you got faith in here this today.
That's right.
And the blue mountain.
That's right. That's
amen.
Right.
I believe
in you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe that the same God.
Lord Jesus.
The same God that sent the angel. Somebody said Pete Wakely had the first automatic door opener. Said they weren't. I said, no, they didn't. But I said, wait back in the Bible. Amen. Jesus and Peter walked out and the gate opened up on its own. Didn't need nobody to open the gate. And I tell you what, we stand so close to having whatever we need at our very fingertips. Our very fingertips we have it. Amen. I would ask you to come and pray for me, but I believe the message. I think that he's real. Is he real?
Amen.
I can't explain all of the miracles that God has done in our lives, and he's still doing today. Amen. Rich in his grace and mercy. I'm praying for my children, I'm praying for your children.
Yes.
that God will save them for you. Amen. This church will be full today. Just our families, our children are in here. Amen. Before we dismiss, we want to pray. I didn't see Sister Taylor here today, so we need to pray for God to touch Sister Taylor. She did not sound good when she called me last night. She's not doing well, but she's calling me to check on me. This kind of person she is.
She's on the prayer line this morning,
Pastor. Was she on the prayer line?
She said, God will not see you later. And she said,
yes,
God will, and I'm
going to
be there.
Amen. Well, I know when she's not here, something's wrong. So we just need to pray. Pray for her that God touch her. Anybody else needs to pray for anything for you tonight, today, Sister Walker?
Pray for my dad.
Yes, just pray for Sister Walker's dad today.
Josh moved out of the house. I think Josh came back home, but Kevin's not coming back home. He's moved out with his girlfriend. I'm just please touch these kids. They're going through a lot right now, Josh. Yes. Josh has staph infection. Claire has a concussion. Becca has mono, and Kevin has got problems with his mental health right now. He's breaking these kids.
Crystal needs the touch of God in her life.
Yes, she does.
Please pray for my mom, her divided both of mine, and also Brother Hunter's daughter.
Yes.
Amen.
Let's pray for Terry today, that she has got the COVID real bad. Also, Brother Sammy called me and he said that Teresa has the COVID real bad. And so, I don't know if he's got it or but he wasn't feeling as bad as she was. It's still going on. It's still real. But we serve a God that can bring us through.
Amen.
I preached a message one time, and if he'll bring you to it, he'll take you through it.
Amen.
And I believe that. So let's pray for these. I didn't see Sister Lawson's mom today, so